Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. By audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 227, December 16th, 2015. We're visited by Princess Leia, and Bob talks about audio. Hello, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID, in another different place. I'm in Illinois, in the home here that's just a few minutes south of the assembly plant where we build things. And we've been many weeks restoring it or just redoing it. But that's where I am tonight. So I don't have a lot of gear and toys and stuff, but I was able to get all this together. But we're going to do something really special tonight. I'm going to answer many, many email and requests. People call. They want to know more about audio. So we're going to get into this a little bit because Gordon is out at the Balboa Parade tonight. And, of course, Balboa Island, it's a boat parade, and it's fabulous. So he and Susie are going to be out there enjoying that. But what's going on in Mississippi? Let's see what George is doing. George, did you get your fuses fixed? What you doing?
I did manage to blow a few more this week. But that's okay because I got a big box of them in from Mauser Electronics a little earlier. So, it's been kind of warm here, Bob. It's been, I guess near 80 just a couple of days ago and then in the 70s most of the week here. So doesn't quite feel like Christmas just yet. And that's okay. I'm in favor of a warmer winter myself. I know a lot of people aren't, but hey, it's fine with me.
Absolutely fine for me. And it's the same here. In the Midwest, Missouri, and Western Illinois here, it's really great. So I'm not complaining. What about you, Don? It's probably nice and warm there.
I'm Christmas shopping.
Oh, okay.
I got the funny book out here. It is. It's been unseasonably warm, and it doesn't seem like Christmas. And I'm. Like you, Bob, I'm from the Midwest, from Oklahoma, and I can remember Christmases where it's been snow up to my knees, and it just kind of a culture shock moving down here to the South and the Great Southern Steam Bath, where you wear shorts and flip flops for Christmas sometimes. But it will all change, I'm sure. In fact, we've got a bunch of rain today, and I think we're supposed to have a little bit more rain tomorrow, and then in the 60s instead of up around 80. So. Oh, well, hopefully something more seasonal. Back to you, Bob.
Well, we'll be back to you for some Newsline and all of the good stuff that you do, Don. And then we're going to go up a little bit to northern Illinois, and there's Valerie. Valerie, how are you? And you sure have a nice cap on tonight. I like it.
Thank you. May the fez be with you. I know it's Star Wars night, but I didn't have anything Star Wars to wear, so I wore the Twit fez. It looks like we're going to have a green Christmas up here too, but, one nice thing about winter, no flip-flops and shorts up here, unlike Don, but, it's contest season. So we just had a couple of contests the last couple of weeks. I have a shot of us, all the crew that worked the 160 contest, if you want to show that, Brian. And also we kind of rearranged everything in our shack. And if you show the photo, we've got all our radios all lined up. We added a couple more computers and monitors and That's our new and improved shack, all ready for DXing and contesting. And last weekend, Jerry did the 10-meter ARRL contest, and I was his contest slave. So I made sure he was well-fed and had plenty of beverages and back rubs. And so we're all ready for the contest in DX season, and I'm going to be talking about later on in the show cruising in amateur radio. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. Well, I'm going to answer a lot of requests from you guys and gals about audio. And it's a subject that you hear a lot of on the air today, people trying different settings with their audio. And the manufacturers are not very good at telling us about what's going on. And so we're kind of lollygagging it out there ourselves. Get on frequency with some of your friends and how's this and how's that. But a little bit of this can really help you, I think, after we get through some of it. I get a lot of requests about, do I need a mixer? And this is very much misrepresented because, yeah, there's a lot of buttons and knobs and all that on it. However, you really are only going to use a few of them. You're going to use one channel probably. Now, this is for your microphone. This is for your microphone. You're going to use that input. It will be an XLR. And the second one, the second little, or the first knob actually, is gain. We'll get into this in a minute. Gain is very important because it depends on what microphone you use as to where you set the gain. If you have a lot of output from a microphone, you don't need a lot of gain. And, of course, if it's line level, you don't need much at all. And that's why it's wonderful to have adjustable gain. Then you get into the equalization. There's why you really use a mixer. We don't usually mix three or four or five microphones. It's just usually one. And you use the bass, treble, and the mid to make your audio sound better. And we're going to get into this. The auxiliary, you're not going to use that at all usually, unless you're going to do something special, and we'll talk about that. And then you have pan pots. Pan pots allows you to take that signal, that microphone signal, which down at the bottom is the master. That one's wide open. I don't know why. I just picked this up off the bench a while ago at the plant. But you can adjust that microphone to come out of either the left side or the right side. And with ham radio, we don't use stereo, so you're going to take one. I usually just take the right side, and we got it. And that's it. Like tonight, if the mixer I'm using, I use an Alesis Multimix 8. And the reason I'm doing that is because it has USB output. And that's one of the things you might want to look at when you buy a mixer, is to get one with USB out. A lot of them have USB in, so you can take a one of your memory sticks or some kind of a player and play it back. We don't need to do that. What we really need is USB out. That's what you're listening to. I come out of this mixer with a USB cable, regular USB cable, into my laptop. And I'm here in Sarah's home, and we're just having a big time. And it all runs through the mixer. One channel has the equalizer. I'm not using the two aux sends. Why do we have aux sends? Effects? Why do we have that? Because when we use them for recording our live sound, that feeds the monitor system at a different mix than the main mix. So this one actually has three mixes. It has the main, it has monitor one, auxiliary one. Auxiliary and monitor the same thing. And that allows you to have a different mix on those two effects channels. But we don't use that kind of stuff on ham radio unless you're doing recording. That's what I do in my station. I come out of that effects channel or monitor channel, auxiliary, they're all the same. They just different companies name them differently. And that feeds my mini disc recorder. It's on all the time. It goes there all the time. So if I hear somebody on the air, I want to do something, all I have to do is hit the record button and I'm recording. And I usually, the level's always usually set the same. But that works really good when you're using it for receiving. Now, for transmitting, you can do the same if you want to record yourself. But that's a little rundown on what the mixer does. In many cases, you don't need a mixer because the only thing you're really after with a mixer happens to be two things. If you have a low-level radio, then you need a little bit of gain. That mixer will do that for you. That thing has, it'll be plus four. It puts out probably a volt and a half. It'll drive anything and overdrive most things. So you have to be careful that you don't overdrive it. But the mixer, oh, it's a magic word. Oh, I have a mixer and all that. But do you really need it? If you have early ICOM, let's go back a little bit and maybe you can pick up on this because it's been a real qualm with ICOM. They came into this country in the late 60s, early 70s. And they had what we call the zero model, 701, 720, 730, 740. Those radios, transceivers, had no mic preamp in the radio. The preamp was built in their cheap little awful sounding hand microphone. It was just awful. But back in the 60s, nobody really cared about audio. In the 70s, nobody really cared. And we lived with that until they started figuring it out that they needed a little more gain because the ham radio guys were starting to use other microphones and you couldn't do it on a 720, 30, 40. So they upped the gain a little, put a mic preamp back in the radio, and that became the 735. But it wasn't a lot of gain. It was down still 15 dB. You could use an electret microphone. An electret is really a little small condenser type microphone. It's active. It needs voltage to power the FET, field effect transistor, that's in the element. The elements are real small. But that worked. It was better. And it worked okay. At least you could use some microphones if they had a lot of output. Well, that went on until along about the 706 time. And I won't get into a lot of it, but I was contacted by ICOM and they said, we need your help. Because I had, in 1982, I did something that changed this industry. And it was remarkable because I didn't do it to change the industry. I did it because I was off the rock and roll road. I just came back into ham radio after 12 years of not being on the air. And what happened to all these radios? They sound terrible. What happened to my Collins audio? Beautiful Johnson and all those great transmitters of the 50s and 60s I grew up with. What happened was they all went back to these low gain preamps and, oh, they were awful, really terrible microphones. So I built this equalizer, the EQ200. I don't have one here with me, but you've seen them. In 1982, July, it became the cover story, and it received the cover award for QST that year. I was very impressed. I didn't know they did that, but I wrote an article, How to Build an EQ200. And it changed what we all do, because now we could take these crummy things and make them sound really good. Well, ICOM had one of those, their president. I got a picture of him one time with one of our gold dines and an EQ200 and a 751 ICOM. I couldn't believe it. And we started working with them, and he came up with this new project. He said, I want to do this and use two-band EQ. Pro 1, Pro 2, Pro 3, went on to the 7600, 77, 78. All those have the same audio board, the same equalizer. And now we really don't need an equalizer
with all of those type of ICOMs. But then they turned the corner. They brought out a 706, a 7100, a 7000, and the 7200, and went back to that old preamp. So you have to use high gain microphones on the ICOMs. So that's a little bit of the history of that. But Kenwood, Yaesu, Elecraft, they're all standard level, broadcast level. You can use dynamic microphones and it works great. No, you can't use an IC. Well, you could, but you got to figure out how to power it. You don't need that. ICOM's the only one that feeds 8 volts up the line. One wire does two things. The microphone cable carries 8 volts from the power supply up to the element to power that FET. And then that same wire, that's DC voltage. That same wire, we feed AC voltage back down the same wire, the audio. It's pretty unique, but it gets you in trouble once in a while. So anyway, then you get into whatever transceiver that you have. And it's really wonderful to have Kenwood, Yaesu type transceivers, and you can play with the equalization. After the success of the equalizer in the ICOM, Dr. Hasegawa at Yaesu, he came to me, asked, I want to do it better. So we helped them do the parametric. And boy, we could do a whole couple of days on parametric. But here's a little bit of that. Going to show you a little bit, let you listen a little bit of what's going on with equalization. Before I do that, let's talk about microphones themselves. Remember what I said about output in microphones. I'm going to change. And you know, a lot of people, oh, I want that mic because it really is pretty. Yeah, but does it work well? Oh, it's just pretty. This is the most beautiful microphone I have ever seen. Somewhere about 56, 58. If you were around in those days, every television host had an American D-22. It was built in Burbank, California for television. Didn't have a lot of gain. Boy, it was pretty. And didn't need much high-quality audio because televisions came through 3-inch speakers. But here we go. Listen what happens to a microphone that doesn't have a lot of gain. Not changing anything. That's pretty. It doesn't sound very good. Well, first of all, it has a lot of plosives because it wasn't close talking. Oh, now what I do? Remember we talked about gain? I have to go to the mixer and really crank up some gain. But now, listen what happened when I crank up the gain. You hear all of the room echo. It's another situation that you don't want to use condensers or any high-gain microphones like that because this is what you sound like. Oh, my buddies say I sound good. Well, yeah, but you got all this background noise. And that's what happens when you run high-gain things, and condensers and even electrics are very high-gain, so you got to be careful because you can't close-talk them. And I do this because I want you to know that looks are not everything. And it's a fairly decent sounding microphone. It's especially good in the mid-range, but this is what television sounded like. But you can't close talk it because you get a lot of that stuff. And we're going to get into that in a minute too. But the microphone was always down here. It was an interview microphone and it worked good for that, but not too much for everything else. Now, I'm going to change to one of these that you see so many of. I'll have to reduce the gain. Okay, let me get this down here. Okay, there we go. And again, the equalization is set flat on this mixer, but it doesn't have a lot of life to it. Never did. And it also has a weird pattern. You have to be right in front of it. So you can't move around very much. And it, as I say, it doesn't have a lot of life. The other thing that it has a lot of, and you got to be careful, is the pee pops. Yeah. Has a lot of that, so you have to usually use one of these guys. But here's the deal about the plosives. If you have your low frequency, I pumped up my low end a little bit, the plosives get really bad. Why? Because the plosives are between 60 and 80 or 100 hertz. So I just notched it out. Now look, the plosives aren't that bad. But the microphone didn't have any life, so we created a microphone to deal. And this, I didn't touch anything, but look what happens. Listen to what happens. Beautiful articulation. Where did I learn that? I learned it from a lot of my great mentors. And if you ever want to really get into audio, either for ham radio recording, this was, I did this in 1976. And it has got so much information. I didn't write it. I just brought all of the things that my mentors taught me. There's the most important thing you can learn about audio, and this is the Fletcher-Munson curve. You want to really pay attention. Let me get this over here so you can see that. That's what your ears look like. So for all you guys who say, oh, I hear flat response. No, you don't. At different levels, up at 110, 120 dB, you're fairly flat. But look down here where you normally hear. You have a big hole in your ear. That's why you need equalization. So for all you guys, I don't need no darn EQ. Yes, you do. Everything you touch, car radios, tape recorders, iPhones, everything that's got a speaker has equalization. You don't know it, and you might not have a bass and treble control, but the engineers know about the Fletcher-Munson curve and have equalized the piece is. And so you have to pay attention to that. You will also learn in there and from the Bell Lab studies, if you go back to in the 20s and 30s, and you need to do this, learn how things work. You'll discover that we need from 2 to 3K pumped up. Why? Because that's where the human voice needs to have articulation. The difference between an S and an F and a P and a B. I know I'm going to just cause the biggest darn firestorm. I do not like phonetics. I hear these guys, they're 30 over 9, they're just in a casual contact, and every 2 minutes they give all of this. All you got to do is say you're calling. If you have great articulation, you know it's K9EID. You don't have to have kilowatt. No, I like the guys that have kilowatt, 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 whiskey, Washington. No, 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 no. I hate it. You don't need that. Even in a contest. Oh, Valerie's going to beat me up on this. But if you have the right audio, you don't need to do that. And it wastes a lot of time. And it gets in a lot of conversations. You don't need all that. But anyway, listen to this. Here comes a mixer. I'm sitting flat. And if you like more low end, we can put low end in it. But what happens when you put too much low end is it really destroys the articulation. Now you're going to need those phonetics from me. And so many guys run their audio like this. Oh, ain't I great? I just sound so great. No, you don't. It's all about balance. Bob Heil does not sound like this. I sound like this. And so that's what you want to pay attention to. Let me get it back to equal normal here. But there's the other thing. Now, you know, when we talked about equalization, we talked about two-band EQ, and we talked about parametric EQ. This mixer is really unique. It has a very interesting, it has bass set at 80 hertz. You can pump it up 15 dB. You can notch it out.
If you want to get into the contest mode, take all that bass out of there. Why? Because we want to accentuate the mid-range. So now we go to the mids. But the mids on this is tunable. It's tunable. You can change the frequency. If you get a two-band EQ, it's already set. You can't do anything. But if you got parametric in it, and if like this Alesis has a parametric mid, the most important place to have it. If you don't have parametric everywhere, that's the real way to do it and what we do in the big stuff. But for here, it's fine. Listen very intently. Listening is a mental process. Mental. Close your eyes and listen to this as I sweep the mid-range. Right now, it's up about 6K. And I'm going to move it all the way down to about 1K. Listen, as we go through it, you'll hear that swishing. There we are at 1K. And we can plus that or minus that. I'll go back again. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. I'll go back. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And you know when it sounds best. Here it's kind of honky sounding. That's 1,500. And then we go on. And when it starts getting what I call the sweet spot right there, 2.3K. Where we need that articulation. The top end on this is set at 10K, and you're not going to hear much up there. And that's the other thing. We don't really need much up there because we're only supposed to be 3K wide, but that's another story. But that gives you a little rundown on the mixer for your microphones if you want to do it. And it really works great. One other thing here before we get out real close to the end. I'm running over here, but I know we don't have a lot going on, so I figured we'd do this tonight. Pay attention to the connectors you get. Some of these connectors today have a gasket, and I don't know why, but they have a rubber gasket, and they won't lock into some of these microphones. So what you want to do is check it and take it off. I'm going to unplug the mic, but I'll show you what I'm talking about. Get rid of it. Now, it locks. A lot of microphones, different brands, won't work with that gasket in it. I don't know what that gasket, George, who might tell me when you take over in a minute. Real quickly, here's an interesting little microphone that Sarah wanted me to do this a couple years ago. Build a very inexpensive mic, but it had to be good. And it is. It's a marvelous, marvelous broadcast element that we used in a project with Fox News. But I already had all the tooling paid and so on, so I brought it into the HM12. This is a great-sounding little microphone. It has great gain. Let me get the equalization back up here where it should be. It has great gain, and it sounds wonderful, and I'm really proud of this. And, of course, the big dog is Leo Laporte's PR40. This one isn't gold, but what can I tell you? And you just have to be careful because the PR40, never intended for ham radio, but there's thousands of them out there on the air. It was made for broadcast, so it starts out at 28 cycles and goes out to that 18K. But, boy, that low end can kill you. This is flat. Now, if you want to add some to it, oh, it gets really crazy. But I like to cut. When I set up an equalizer for my transmitter, no matter what I have for microphones, I roll off, notch, a little bit of the low end. I punch up the mid-range so we get that nice articulation, and I don't have to use a lot of phonetics. People know what you're saying. And it just works well. And no matter what microphone it is. But just I wanted you to hear some of that. And last but not least is ICOM. You have to be careful. You can't, for all the Pro Series that have the standard preamp, Pro 1, 2, 3, 78, 76, all that, beautiful. 7200, 7000, 71, 706. Sad because they reverted back to that 30-year-old preamp. And those are great rigs. Don't misunderstand me. But you have to use a microphone. That ICOM requested us design years ago just for ICOM. That's why we call it ICM.
Can't get any closer to spelling ICOM. Then I get in a trade relationship problem. It's a great microphone. And we the connector on it, it's all together. It's got one of our great Heil connectors. There's nothing better. If you've never seen this connector, it's wonderful. I designed it some years ago. You notice how thick it is, and it's got the right cable size for the Heil wire. And this is the ICOM. No, it doesn't work on Yaesu. No, it doesn't work on Kenwood. Works on ICOM. So I've been way over my time. I apologize for that, but I've just had so many requests, and maybe this will help some of you. We can get into other things. We got some new things coming. We finally have standalone elements. HC4s and 5s are gone, but now we have the HC7. You can drop that in your D104 or put it in your whatever Turner and finally make some good-sounding microphones out of them. It's made for the Pro 7. All you got to do is just take the little plastic holder off of it, and you end up with this little guy. Two wires and all that. It's great. But you can't. It's in an enclosure that's tuned. That really works great. So that's the story. Sorry to take so much time, but as I said, with Gordo gone and not a lot going on, I wanted to take this to answer some of this. I hope you get and always remember, send me an email. I try to answer. I don't try. I do. I try to do it the same day, but send me an email if you got a question. I had about 10 of them today, all on audio, and I told them, listen in tonight. Maybe we'll learn a little more. And if you got questions, you didn't understand it, we'll come back and do a little more, whatever. So there you go. Don, let's get out of this thing and get into the real world and see what's going on newsy. So there you go, Mr. Don. Take her over.
Yeah, we're going to talk about DX Engineering first, but look at that. I don't know if I bought this microphone from the Heil booth at Dayton, I don't know, 2000, 2001, something like that. You signed this microphone for me with a silver Sharpie, and I've used it so much that the silver Sharpie has worn off. But this, the gold line with the HC4 element in there, excellent, excellent, until I got the microphone or the PR40 and the radio with the had all the EQ in it, the 7600. But great microphone, and you can find pretty much everything Heil at DX Engineering. Speaking of that, how is your holiday shopping shaping up? Well, you probably got some hams on your list, obviously, because you're watching this program. Check out DX Engineering. In addition to amazing stocking stuffers like, well, you know, T-shirts, hats, no chapeaux, other station accessories, they have the latest radios from Yaesu, Kenwood, ICOM, Elenco, and, you know, the mall. Stay away from the mall. Go to dxengineering.com. You can get it on practical. Well, there it is. Why, there it is right there. You can find pretty much everything for the ham radio operator in your life. Plenty of other stuff, too. There's a gift page. That's right, a dedicated gift page for nifty, gifty idea starters. Gifts for any budget, plenty for non-ham techies, too. Project kits from Velman. Great way to introduce your youngster to electronics. The Elenco DJ FX45 FRS radio. Yep. Family radio service, so they're open for anybody to use. Great radio is kind of a, see that as kind of an entree into the ham radio hobby. Get your youngster interested in getting their ticket. Plus clocks, weather stations, tents, T-shirts, folding chairs, tools, shortwave AM, FM, Wi-Fi radios from Sanjin. Just an amazing array of things from DX Engineering. And the blazing fast shipping means that if you order tonight, you'll get your in-stock order in time for Christmas Eve. Give the gift of DX this holiday with high-performance amateur radio gear from DX Engineering, of course. If you're a last-minute guy, some of us are, you can always buy DX Engineering gift cards online. Print them out instantly. They're handy as they can be, especially if you forgot somebody on your ham radio Christmas gift. Maybe you're exchanging gifts at the ham radio club. There you go. The DX Engineering gift cards accepted online. By phone, by mail, be redeemed for the entire face value or just part of it. And denominations from 25 up to 500. Great to give and receive. So, hey, put that on your little list if someone is saying, I don't know what to get you. Well, why don't you go to dxengineering.com and give me one of those gift cards and I'll figure out something exactly perfect for me. Finish your holiday shopping at dxengineering.com. Remember, fastest shipping anywhere. Get your ground shipping order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And if it is in stock, it will be on a truck headed your way that day. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helping you shrink the globe. You can request this catalog like I have in my hot little hand right now, or you can even go online like I have here on my little Android tablet. 24/7, dxengineering.com/hamnation. Thank you so much, DX Engineering, for your support of Ham Nation. We love you. We appreciate you. They're fine people, and you'll love them too. I know you will. And now let's get into the news of the week, shall we, from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1989, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, December 16, 2015. As flood-soaked Chennai, the fourth largest city in India, struggles in the aftermath of devastating floods, the hams who've been looking to give assistance are struggling too. Here's Newsline's Jim Dameron, W2JKD.
Even radio amateurs who've been able to travel to the area to provide emergency communications are being challenged by a scarcity of available power, as many of the batteries in their portable gear have long since discharged. The International Amateur Radio Union in India told the ARRL that an emergency net was established on 7.070 megahertz, and amateurs who are able to have also been making use of some local repeaters. Some news reports indicate that the band at 14.160 megahertz has also been put into use for contact with the National Institute of Amateur Radio with the special call sign AU2MTT. The president of the Amateur Radio Society of India, Gopal Madhavan, VU2GMN, reported, however, that with so many areas surrounding the city being underwater and cut off, ground transportation has been impossible, and even hams who want to travel to give assistance have been unable to get out. He was optimistic at midweek that with the floodwaters receding, the hams will soon be able to do more.
The amateur radio community has lost a businessman, a friend, and a devoted advocate and de-expeditioner. Robert Ferraro, W6RJ, the founder of Ham Radio Outlet, became a silent key December 4th at the age of 78. Ferraro's longtime friend and associate, Chip Margelli, K7JA.
Bob was really a great ham, number one, and obviously a very successful businessman. When I first met Bob in the late 60s, we kept in touch for many, many years. Went to the Burlingame initial location of HRO very soon after he acquired it, and have had a connection of one kind or another with Ham Radio Outlet through the years through dear friend Jim Rafferty, M6RJ, who's also a silent key, and then my wife Kat, KL7MF, who's been the manager of HRO in Anaheim since Jim Rafferty passed away.
So tell me a little bit about how Ham Radio Outlet came to be.
It was an existing dealership in Burlingame, California, right by railroad tracks. It used to be a railroad station, in fact. And Bob, when he was looking to retire from the California Highway Patrol, enrolled in some business classes. I got to be quite the student of accounting, I'm sure. And although I don't know the exact circumstances of the acquisition, in 1971, he was able to buy the first store in Burlingame. And then it expanded throughout California. Then through the years, the chain expanded dramatically through acquisition of other stores where their owners wanted to retire or something like that.
There's lots more to the story, and you can hear it all on this week's Amateur Radio Newsline. We wrap it up this week with more on-air adventures of Santa Claus, who's traded his Yule log for an amateur radio log. 2015 has presented more than a sack full of opportunities to QSO with the big guy, thanks to amateurs with spirit, imagination, and more than a little creativity.
For the first time this year, the Battleship Iowa Amateur Radio Association, using the call sign NI6BB, is providing a round-the-clock connection to Santa's Shack in the North Pole on December 16th and 17th. Organizers who will be spending the night aboard the Battleship Museum say that Santa's own XYL, Mrs. Claus, may also put in an appearance on the HF bands. In New Jersey, the Santa's Workshop special event station W2S is on the air through December 23rd, with support from the South Jersey DX Association and the Old Barney Amateur Radio Club. Never mind Christmas cards, this Santa is sending personalized QSL cards, and Chuck W2CCW as serving as Santa's QSL... QSELF. And although the Barrow Amateur Radio Club in Bethlehem, Georgia, already concluded their special holiday event earlier this month, Old Father Nine Christmas, OF9X, has just begun the long journey through the land of Santa again, starting at the Arctic Circle for the benefit of the Finnish Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund. That journey doesn't end until December 28th, so that's not QRN you're hearing through your headphones, it's Jingle Bells. Turn on your rigs. It's beginning to sound a lot like Christmas.
Of course, the SantaNet continues nightly on 3916. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Dameron, W2JKD, Chip Margelli, K7JA, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right. No Dr. T tonight. She is at a conference, a geophysical conference, so we'll catch up with her next week. And if you've got some time on your hands, say maybe the bands are dead or whatever, you might like to do a little reading. And, of course, if you have a long commute like me, it's kind of hard to, well, you know, watch the road and watch a book at the same time. That's where Audible comes in. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks. They have more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. There's even some technical stuff on there. There's all kinds of cool things on Audible. And because you are a Ham Nation viewer and listener, you can get a free audiobook to give yourself a chance to try out the service. Now, one you might consider is one that I actually just finished on the way home tonight, and it is called Prince of Fire. It's by Daniel Silva. It's a spy movie, It's a spy book, and it's really good. I had not heard of this series before, but there are like 9 or 10 in this Gabriel Allon series. Gabriel Allon is the main character. He is a spy, and he's also an art appraiser, an art restorer, just a very, very deep character. And I tell you, some of these, it's almost like it's cut right out of the recent headlines. Book was written in 2005, but a gripping story of the Arabs and the Jews, and of course the long fight that those two have had, and explosions, and he's a spy, and I highly recommend this. This is good stuff, Daniel Silva. Prince of Fire, and that's one you might consider for your free download at the Audible. So check that out if you would. And to get to download this one for free or any other book of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. You're going to love it, I promise you. audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. Audible, thanks for making my commute a lot more bearable. And let's see exactly what's going on in the world of DX now. Val, what's going on up there?
All right. Well, as you know, winter's here and a lot of snowstorms, a lot of cold. People start planning their vacation, and a lot of people like to cruise. Now, I know Dale just got done cruising, and I'm actually going on a cruise in about 2.5 weeks, so I thought it would be cool to do an episode on amateur radio and cruising. All right, so it's cruising season. As some of you may know, Dale just finished doing a cruise. I've got one coming up the first week of January, so I thought I'd talk about cruising and amateur radio. So let's talk about which cruise lines are amateur radio friendly and which ones are not. So Carnival Cruise Line, if you booked your cruise with Carnival, unfortunately, they do not allow operation of amateur radio. How about Celebrity? They, too, do not allow amateur radio operation. And if you booked it with Norwegian, which is the one I'll be cruising on, no amateur radio allowed on that one either. And if you are on Royal Caribbean, nope, no amateur radio allowed there either. How about Princess Cruises? They are actually ham radio friendly. And if you're on Holland America, they too are amateur radio friendly. And if you're cruising with Disney, they're also amateur radio friendly. So to recap, on the left is all the cruise lines that do not allow amateur radio operation, and the right are the ones that are amateur radio friendly. Now, just because they don't allow amateur radio operation doesn't mean no ham radio. A lot of the ship's captains and some of their crew are actually licensed ham operators. So get to meet your crew and find out if there are any licensed hams on board. You might be able to score a private tour, and maybe they'll even let you operate. And by the same token, just because they're amateur radio friendly does not mean you can operate ham radio. You're going to need to get permission from the cruise line. You're also going to need to get permission from the ship's captain. The cruise line will do that for you, but the ship's captain or master has the ultimate say in whether you can operate ham radio from the ship. You'll want to submit a copy of your license along with a list of all the equipment you'll be using. Now, once you do get approved, they're most likely going to give you a list of rules and guidelines you're going to need to follow. Obviously, you cannot interfere with the ship's communication, and they may even restrict your power limits. You'll also most likely will not be allowed to operate from any of the public areas, which means you're going to need to get a room with a balcony and operate from your room. You're also going to need to have the appropriate license to operate from the ship's registry country. So now each ship has a registry country, and that is where you're going to need to get your license. Now, if you're sailing with Disney or Princess, their flagship registry is in the Bahamas. Now, unfortunately, we do not have a SEPT agreement with the Bahamas, so you're going to need to get a license from the Bahamas. If you go to that website there, click on the licensing tab, and then go to the application forms, download the application, fill it out, and send it along with a copy of your U.S. license, along with a copy of your passport photo page, and send them an international money order for $35 to the address below. It'll take about 1 to 3 months, but you'll get your Bahama license. Now, I've also included their phone number and their email address in case you want some more information. Now, if you're sailing with Holland America, their flagship country is the Netherlands, and fortunately, we do have a SEPT agreement in place with the Netherlands. You don't need to do anything at all. If you are an advanced or an extra class license, you will have the exact same privileges that you have now. And if you have a general class license, you will have similar privileges to their novice, which is only 70 centimeters, 2 meters, 10 meters, 20 meters, and 40 meters, and you're only allowed 25 watts of peak envelope power. And for you techs and novices out there, unfortunately, you're out of luck. There is no equivalent in reciprocity with SEPT, so you're not allowed to operate under the SEPT agreement. So what do you need to bring? Obviously, the appropriate license to operate if it's a non-SEPT country. Now, if it's a SEPT country that the flagship of the cruise line is under, you can bring your original license along with a copy of the FCC's public notice in 3 languages and proof of citizenship, which is your passport. You're also going to want to bring along an extra copy or two of your FCC license and your foreign license. You're going to need radio equipment, obviously, and if you can, bring bill of sale for that equipment. Put a copy of your FCC license and any bills of sale and a foreign license copy in with your equipment, and that'll help get you through TSA. Now, if you want more information on SEPT, just go to the ARRL.org, and there's their address right there. Now, for some reason, a lot of the cruise lines don't allow you to use wire antennas, so I'm just throwing a couple of options out there for you. I know there's a lot more out there, but these Diamond and these Hustlers, what's cool about these, they don't require any ground radials, nor do they need a tuner. So that's going to save you a lot right there. And both are available at DX Engineering, along with most likely your favorite candy store. Now, on a personal note, that 4BTV antenna by Hustler, that's actually the antenna the guys strapped on the Braveheart when they were sailing to Amsterdam Island, and it worked great for them. So, everybody, bon voyage and happy sailing. Yeah, I can't wait to sail. Unfortunately, I didn't know there are amateur radio rules when I booked my Norwegian cruise coming up in a couple weeks, but I think we need to have our Ham Nation cruise. I think that would be fun. We could have some forums, have a lot of people, and I think if we organized a ham radio cruise, maybe we could get permission to have stations set up throughout public areas of the ship. So I may look into that, and if you have any interest, let me know in the chat room or send me emails so I kind of get a gauge of if there's any interest for that for maybe spring of 2017. As far as DXing goes, not really a lot coming on, but get ready. January through April, a lot of really rare ones are going on the air. So make sure you're all ready for that. Coming up right now, Kerguelen Island, there's a gentleman there. His call is Fox 4 EGX. His name is Nicholas, and he's on the island. He's maintaining the measuring equipment on the island of Kerguelen, and the call is FT4XU. Now, I've only seen him spotted on 20 meters, and it's usually in the morning in the USA. And it's sideband. And we did hear him long path the other morning when we beamed our antennas toward Asia. So you might want to try that. I still need him yet for an all-time new one. I was not able to work him, so I'm still listening for him. But it said he'll only be there till the middle of the month, which, I mean, that's a little vague. Also, Lord Howe Island, they're going to be on the air as of supposedly today, operating through the 23rd, and that's Victor Kilo 2, India Alpha Yankee, Stroke 9. So make sure you work those guys if you need Lord Howe Island. As far as contesting goes, this weekend is the RAC Winter Contest, which is the Canadian contest. A lot of fun. That's 160 through 2 meters, CW and phone. I'll probably get on for a little bit for that one. Following weekend, which is right after Christmas, is the Stu Perry Top Band Challenge. And that's 160 CW. So go ahead and operate in that one if you dare. And that's all I've got for this week. I won't be back for 2 more weeks. So I hope you all have a great holiday. And I'm going to pass it over to you, George. You're going to talk about ICOM, I think.
Yeah, thanks, Val. Great information on the cruises there. I did not know that... that they broke into different groups like that, that some were ham friendly and some were not. So good information to know. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. I've got some things I want to give away and briefly talk about. But first, let's get a message from ICOM.
Enjoy the holiday season with an ICOM portable. Nothing spreads holiday cheer like ICOM's colorful ID51A Plus D-Star Dual Bander, available in classic black, sunset orange, passion pink, ultraviolet, or lime yellow. Near me repeater function for D-Star as well as analog repeaters. Free downloadable RSMS1A Android app and integrated GPS. For the ham on the go, the UHF D-Star ID31A has so many features to enjoy. Built-in GPS, compact and lightweight with waterproof construction, and micro SD card slot. Want to give the gift of classic 2-meter 70-centimeter operation? Try the ICT-70A HD. Easy to program with simple keypad. It has a large backlit alphanumeric display. Here, 700 milliwatts of loud and clear audio, and the HD version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. For a versatile high-power handheld, choose ICOM's ICV80A HD Sport. It has a built-in BTL amplifier which helps deliver 750 milliwatts of loud audio, great for noisy environments, and like the T70A, the HD version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and rapid charger. The V80 Sport also comes with an alkaline tray that holds 6 AA batteries. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's mobile radio selection. Happy holidays!
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts, hats, and a lot more. And while you're there, you can learn how you could win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for December, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID51A Plus Dual Band Dual Watch Handheld. It's got D-Star internal GPS, analog and D-Star near repeater functions, enhanced DPRS, a free downloadable Android app, IPX7 waterproof construction, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. You know, last week I had asked a question from the amateur radio technician pool, and that was, which of the following describes combining speech with an RF carrier signal? A, impedance matching, B, oscillation, C, modulation, and D, low-pass filtering. Well, I think we all knew the answer to that, but we can only have one lucky winner, and you know what? I just realized I haven't even drawn it yet, so we'll have the winner here when Amanda gets in on the chat room in just a few minutes. I'll have it before the end of the show. But they're going to win this Howl Sound hat right here. I don't have any of these fancy twit. Well, this is not really a fez. I'm not even sure what they call this, a French. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what kind of hat this is I'm wearing. But you'll look nice in this Howl Sound hat here. And we'll let you know who wins that in a few minutes. For next week, I've got another question. What is the basic unit of electromotive force? It's A, the volt, B, the watt, C, the ampere, or D, the ohm. And for that, we're going to give away one of these MFJ 148RC clocks. It's a new clock from MFJ. It's 12 or 24 hour, a dual time zone LCD clock with a 10-minute ID timer built in. And it synchronizes with the WWV time signal, so you'll always be on time. Great new clock from MFJ. I'm going to give that to someone who can tell me what the basic unit of electromotive force is. Send that answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll draw someone's name next week to win that. Well, as I said, I'll let you know who won the hat here in just a few minutes. I did want to mention a couple other things, though. This past Friday night, we did our annual Christmas episode of Amateur Logic. If you haven't seen it, go check it out at amateurlogic.tv. Had a great time. Our good friend Mike, VE3MIC, was there. And he introduced us to a few new products that might be of interest to you. So go check that out. But I took the video camera with me this past weekend. I went out to a transmitter site. We had like 40-mile-per-hour winds that day, and I thought, you know, if I had the camera with me, I could record what it sounds like standing under a 1,000-foot tower when the wind's blowing. Well, I recorded it, but unfortunately, the camera audio just really didn't give you a good idea. If you've been under your ham tower when the wind blows, you probably don't hear anything in particular. But if you're under a real tall tower like that, it sounds like a freight train. So sorry I couldn't pull that off for you. I tried, but it just wasn't that impressive coming off the camera. So Bob, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, wind and video cameras don't work very well together, do they?
No,
well,
no, not at all.
Hey, I got a really good answer in the chat room from John about why you need the little gasket on the XLR. Do you know the answer to that?
I saw in the chat room a couple of answers there. I know which one I think it is, but tell me what you think it is or what he said.
Well, John says it's to keep the sound in, which is really good. John, I'm going to use that in some of my workshop. That's a good one. To keep the sound in. Can you believe that? That was funny. And I had a couple of things, guys, I forgot to mention. If you really want to get into this, understand that I put this together in 1976. There's been a couple of updates. Volume 2's got Volume 1 in it. Just call Ohio Sound Plant, and they'll have it for you. It's not really available anywhere else because it's very old. But let me tell you, it goes back, probably 80 or 90 years and comes right up to date. So it's just a ton of information. It's how I learned and led my a couple of my careers. And so check it out. I also wanted to let everybody know that I just recorded about an hour organ concert of Christmas music. And Brian, if you can bring this up, we've had Ted on here before. His whole family, they run the WTWW, the big 100 kilowatt shortwave station from Nashville. You can hear it all over the globe. And there's the schedule of when they'll air these programs. They're going to be on either one of their frequencies. They've got two shortwave stations. And I had a lot of fun doing it. And so if you want to hear some nice Christmas music, on the theater organ. Why it's a little different because it's not church organ, but it's it turned out well. So just wanted to let you know about that. And so we'll head over to Colorado. And you have snow out there yet, Amanda? What's going on weather-wise? Look at this. All right.
Star Wars nights. I'm so excited. I know you guys are not as excited as I am, but I'm thrilled about it. No, we have had snow. Yes. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you.
Well, I have something for you, Amanda. Would you like to hear it?
I would.
Okay. Here it is. It's the Darth Vader listening for Amanda.
You guys earlier sent out a group email. I said, this is Star Wars night. Everyone, wear your vests. Bring your lightsabers. And Bob came back to me and said, I don't think I have anything like that. Thank you so much for the Darth Vader. I appreciate it. I'm so looking forward to... I'm not going tomorrow night, by the way, you guys. Jeff and I are going on our wedding anniversary, which is December 24th. So we're not big movie theater, big crowd stuff. So we're going really early in the morning. And hopefully the theater won't be too crowded. But I'm really looking forward to the movie. And I know these are a little dorky. But hey, you guys, I got some questions for you.
No. They look
Dawn,
fine.
I so hear you laughing. You're trying to muffle it, but I still hear you. Love the hat, by the way. I'm waiting for mine. I'm guessing because I live in such a rural area, I have not received it yet, but it should be coming. UPS is slow here. Okay, first, I have an announcement for the chat room. I've seen some of you guys getting kicked out for repeating yourselves. Just know it's not you personally. Just change your sentence, a couple of words, and say the same thing. Otherwise, you will get kicked from the chat room, and it's just because it's a bot that Twit manages, and they want to keep trolls out, if you understand that. So thanks so much for your patience with that. Don't get irritated. Just change it a little bit. Next thing. Bob, you had a great segment tonight on audio, so I have a couple of questions. Someone had asked, how do you set your ALC properly while we're getting into the discussion of audio and audio levels?
That's the whole thing. If we had 10 hours, we could answer all these great questions, and we will just keep them coming. You see, ALC is a meter to let you set mic gain. I got my way in the Yaesu 9000. If you have a Yaesu 9000, or if you ever get close to one, it has an XLR on the front panel, balanced line, commercial, 600 ohm input, that just works beautifully. It's balanced. And with that, they did another thing I wanted, and they did it right. There is no ALC meter on a 9000. It says mic gain, because the ALC meter is how you set microphone gain. If you've got that meter slamming up against the peg or anywhere into the red with just any kind of little sound at all, too hot. If you say 10 words and in a normal sentence, maybe two of them will come up and hit the red mark. Never does that meter flash like this all the time. It just flashes on peaks because it's automatic limiting circuit. What does that mean? As your audio comes up and it gets too high, it limits it and drops it back down. And you set that meter, or you set your mic gain by using that meter. And say a sentence of Mary Had a Little Lamb or whatever. And as you say that, it should only flicker a couple of times on the peaks. Like, boom, that would cause it to flash up. But under normal conversation, it won't do that. That is how you set your mic gain. That is the same as setting the ALC. It's the same thing. It's very simple, but I have never seen that written anywhere, and I don't know why. But that's how you do it, Amanda. Just watch that ALC meter and adjust your mic gain.
Very good. Thank you so much. And our next question, also for you, Bob. And I didn't actually understand this question very well, but I think that you will get it right away. This is from WD9GCO Paul. He says, original gold line into a mixer, then into a 50K input of the HT-TS520s. Can I use the passive guitar DI in reverse for the impedance match?
Yeah, well, you'll have to probably have a transformer in there because the 520 was high impedance. Another great subject that needs to be covered, but we'll have to do that another time. But we actually have the transformer. You got to be careful because most of these transformers, they're not very a wide range. They start out about 600 cycles and go up to maybe 8K. You want something that's full range, and our little XT1 does that. And you want to come out of the mixer into that transformer. But I tell you, I've been very successful in just running the mixer straight in. Yes, it's a huge mismatch. What do you use? What do you lose when you do that? A little bit of gain, which you can make up, and some low end because of that mismatch. 520 doesn't have any low end anyway. So you might want to try it before you go to a lot of problems. Just take the mixer and drive it straight into that high impedance input, see what happens. And if you need a little more fidelity or a little more gain, then get a high to low impedance transformer. 1K to 30K works fine.
Very good. And the other thing that I have to say is that if you guys ever make it to anywhere where Bob is presenting, make sure you go to his forum because he talks about this and he goes on and on. And it's perfect. And his explanation of everything is awesome. So thank you so much, Bob. I really enjoyed the one in New Mexico. And I know that you probably do it the same over and over. And every time it's so helpful for everyone. That being said, my next question is kind of a group question and also to the chat room. I have been seeing these ads for plastic welders. Buy one, you get two. Do they even work? George, I'm going to go to you first. What do you think?
Well, I think I don't have a lightsaber, but I do have a soldering iron.
That's awesome.
That's pretty much the same thing as a plastic welder. I mean, the ones that I've seen advertised at Harbor Freight and all they're going to do is melt the plastic. So, yeah, I think maybe they work. I will say this about cheap soldering irons or cheap soldering guns. I bought some tools at Harbor Freight a week or two ago. I just needed some extra, I guess I'd call it my burner tools that I was just going to leave at transmitter sites that could be difficult to get into. And if I had to walk into, I couldn't carry tools with me. So I just want some cheap tools there. And I said, well, I need something to solder with. So I'm going to buy one of these Harbor Freight soldering guns. Save your money. It wasn't much, but, you know, I got it here, and I said, well, you know, while I'm sitting here, I might as well tin it with some good lead solder with rosin core flux. And so I fired up the soldering gun, and I started melting solder on it, and, you know, it was spreading around getting tinned. And then all of a sudden, one spot on the little element there on the gun turned red, and poof, I burn up the tip on the Harbor Freight soldering gun before I ever got one connection made. I was just tinning it, so we're going to put some copper wire in there. I did want to mention something on the audio transformers there. Yeah, I use them a lot, and like Bob said, you may can get by without one. Just try it and see. If you've got hum or if you've got some RFI interference or something like that, then, you know, transformer is a good way to go. He was asking about using a guitar direct box to do that, and I think the impedance mismatch on that's going to be kind of great. I've got some of them here that I use for some other audio isolation purposes. But, you know, one side of that's going to be 600 ohms. The other side's going to be way up there, way higher impedance than, I don't know, maybe it's 100K or something like that. But they will work, but you're going to get a big change in level. Whatever you put in on the on one side is going to come out a lot hotter or a lot softer on the other side. And that may not be a bad thing, but you'll, like Bob said, you'll also lose a little bottom end on that when you've got a big impedance mismatch like that. But they can work. I'm using some here. Not the best solution, but, you know, it's kind of hard to find good audio transformers locally. And, yeah, save your money. Don't buy the ones off the pegboard at Radio Shack. You know, or use a modem transformer. You're just going to lose too much response. And, you know, earlier I was trying to give away this hat here and had not drawn a name. Well, I did that just a few moments ago, and our winner is Jim Briggs, KK0GT. And Jim said the answer is C, modulation. So congratulations, Jim. We'll be getting that out to you this week. That's it, Amanda. That's all I got to say about it.
Are you sure? You don't want to dig anything else out? No,
you can weld plastic with one of these, but I wouldn't use my good tip. I've got an old tip just for that.
Very good. I've also seen people just take out some lighters and have fun with it. That being said, I'm going to go a little controversial here. Bob is very direct about his fact that he says, don't do all the phonetic stuff. Just see if people pick up your call sign. Don, I'm going to go to you. You're very articulate with your speaking, your speech. How do you feel about using phonetics all the time on HF? Does it help you? Does it not help you? I've seen a lot of comments in the chat tonight. What do you think? Really? Nice. That's awesome. Go to the dark side.
Exactly. Okay, phonetics. No, there's a time and place for everything, obviously. And if you're trying to, you know, do some DX or trying to pull that call sign out for the first time, or someone's having a hard time hearing you, then yeah, use phonetics. But as far as if you're just in a casual rag chew, like if I'm talking to you, just in a casual rag chew, I'm not going to identify as Alpha Echo 5 Delta Whiskey. Well, I don't, I might, just because it's force of habit. But more than likely, it's just going to be a quick AE5DW. Because, you know, unless someone comes in and says, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that call sign. And then, oh, I'm sorry. Well, it's Alpha Echo 5 Delta Whiskey. And a lot of people will do that because, well, I don't know. They pick up on it. They're like, wait a minute. I've heard that call sign before from Ham Nation or Newsline or whatever. But anyway, so that's what that's my thing. Yeah, that's my thing is use phonetics when needed. I think it's kind of like saying hi. Sometimes you get into these crutches, but phonetics when needed, and I prefer standard phonetics. I don't like non-standard phonetics unless it's funny. If you're doing the non-standard phonetics as a joke and you've got something really clever, like for instance, what is it in Huntsville, Alabama, the club that runs the Ham Fest, K4BFT, Kilo 4 Big Fat Turkey, the West Side Amateur Radio Club in New Orleans that I used to be president of. It's Whiskey 5 Alpha Bravo Delta, which is Algiers Beer Drinkers, because it's in Algiers, Louisiana, across the river, or American Beer Drinkers. Stuff like that's kind of fun. But I don't know. I don't get hung up on phonetics. But use them when you need them, and I prefer standard phonetics. And, of course, one must, if you want to melt plastic, you need the right tool.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you so much, Don, for your input. And I do have funny phonetics. Nice, Moraine, you're awesome. I use Kilo 1 Dumb Denver Nuggets. That's mine. So,
well, my original call ended in MFA.
No, Brian, and really?
Yeah, they did. My original call was KC5 MFA, and you can have a lot of fun with that. None of it on the air. You can have a lot of fun with that. So
yes, yeah. You can. Hey, that's great. Thanks, you guys, for all your wonderful answers tonight. Thanks, chat room, for all your wonderful questions. Bob, that's all I've got. So I'm going to send it back to you. Dr. Bob, you're our only hope.
Well, that was great. You look really cute tonight. I'm sure you and Jeff will have fun tomorrow night. And Thanks for all you do, keeping us all straight here with the chat room, and greetings to everybody in that chat room. I hope somebody picked up a little bit of something tonight. I always like for somebody to learn something. Sometimes I learn something. I talk too much sometimes. thanks to everybody, and we appreciate all of the wonderful comments. So we're going to get out of here and get things cleaned up, because I get to go back to Pleasant Hope tomorrow where I have all my gear. But I'll let you know right now, if you tune to 5.085 on the shortwave AM, you'll probably hear the first in the series of the Christmas music, which I had a lot of fun to do. So we will be back here next week, and Gordo will be back, and all of the usual suspects, and be ready for Christmas around the corner. So thanks very much, everybody, for all your support here on the TWiT Network. Be sure you watch some of the other programs. There's some wonderful informational programs here, a lot of fun programs. And if you haven't done it on Saturdays and Sundays, you really need to tune in to Leo's Tech Guy. It's really wonderful. It's how I got hooked on the TWiT Network many years ago when they started, and I appreciate being a part of it now. Thanks so much. 7268, I think, will be live tonight. I think 20 meters is going to be dead. Dewdrop's
going to
be...
It's a no-go.
No-go, right.
It's a no-go.
That's what I figure. George, where's the dewdropper? You got that?
Yeah, star, dewdrop, and star are node number 355-800 or echo link, reflector 14, module C.
Okay. Well, I think we covered it. And thanks to Dan for doing the... all of the notes afterwards. The show notes are great. We'll see you next week. And if I don't talk to you, Merry Christmas. We'll see you on the air. Have fun. And remember, ham radio is a hobby, but oh boy, what a hobby. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID.